Canto 5, Chapter 12. The conversation between Maharaj Rahugana and Jada Bharata. Rahugana said, "My respectful obeisances unto you, who emanated from the embodiment of the original cause, Rishabhadeva, and to you, who in his self-realization despises all strife and quarrel, and to you, who, as a forsaker of the world in the form of a Brahmin friend, has concealed his realization of the eternal truth. You are like the medicine for a by fever distressed patient. You are like the cool water for someone scorched by the sun, and for someone like me, whose vision in this gross body has been poisoned by the serpent of pride, you are the miracle potion of the gods. Now, please explain to me, burning with curiosity, again in simple words, so that I may clearly understand, your concise speech concerning the yoga of self-realization. Personal matters, not clear to me, I will submit to you later. You said, O master of yoga, that what clearly can be distinguished as a result of one's actions is based on someone's behavior and not fit for an inquiry into the ultimate reality. With that explanation, your goodness has bewildered my mind." The Brahmin said, "Moving around on the earth in a body that is made of earth, you, O king, also endowed with such an earthly body, recognize an earthly person in me. Why would your grace, with these curious feet and above them these ankles, calves, knees, thighs, waist, neck, shoulders, and upon those shoulders the wooden palanquin upon which a soul sits, who is thus known as the king of Sauvira, have to impose your will in this haughty manner with I, the king of Sindhu, and thus have to be a captive of false pride? The way you control these poor, helpless people by mercilessly restraining them with violence and, on top of that, even boast, 'I am your protector,' you, with your impudence, cut a sorry figure in the society of the old and wise. Because we, as moving or unmoving life forms, consist of earth, we are also familiar with the everlasting appearance and disappearance of our earthly forms. We only differ in name from each other when we speak of factual behavior. Let us consider how things really are to be inferred. By the words we thus use for worldly matters is that what exists not truthfully described. What one in one's mind imagines of the particular characteristics, the aggregation, and the dissolution again in the constituent atomic particles of matter covers but an unconscious, less intelligent notion of existence. Please understand that being meager, fat, tiny or big, existing as an individual entity, inanimate matter or whatever other natural phenomenon of disposition, all concerns impermanence in the name of a certain place, time and activity, a temporary state inherent to the operation of nature's duality. The spiritual knowing perfectly pure that constitutes the ultimate goal is the oneness without an inside or an outside, the absolute truth of the spirit, Brahman, the inner peace of the meditator that in a higher personal sense is known as Bhagavan, the supreme lord of all opulence, who by the scholars is called Vasudeva. Dear King Rahugana, this cannot be realized by just doing penance, by deity worship, or by putting an end to one's material activities, nor by one's household life, by celibacy and study, or by self-restraint in relation to water, fire, or the sun alone. This is not revealed unless one smears the dust of the lotus feet of the great examples all over one's body. There, where the qualities of him praised in the scriptures are discussed, worldly concerns find their end. When one, day after day, seriously listens to those whose purpose it is to find liberation in devotional service, one's meditation will durably be turned to Vasudeva. In a previous birth, I was known as a king named Bharata, who found liberation through personal insight and association in worship of the Supreme Lord. Thus always engaged, I nevertheless became a deer in my next life because I, intimately associated with one, had neglected my duties. Despite being a deer, O great hero, the memory of my activities of worship unto Krishna did not leave me. For that reason, I, out of fear moving about unseen, now keep myself far from associating with ordinary folk. Therefore, when a human being, with the help of the sword of knowledge, has cut with worldly association, he even in this world can break away completely from the bewildered state. By both listening to and talking about the stories of the activities of the Lord, the lost consciousness is regained, and the ultimate goal of the way back to Godhead is attained.